Brought to you by NHTSA and the...
My daughter is normally a little goofball. But after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep naturally, giving her the rest to be her best.
I'm a dinosaur.
Best dinosaur.
Pure Z's Kids, for ages 4 and up when needed. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former President Donald Trump stopped outside of a polling place in Londonderry, New Hampshire today, the state's first in the nation primary underway.
I'm very confident. I mean, this is, we just stopped here. We stopped at a polling site. We picked it at random. We may stop at one more. And nobody knew we were coming. This is pretty amazing.
Nikki Haley, the only remaining opponent for the Republican nomination, is trailing Trump in the polls by double digits. Meanwhile, in his first interview since throwing in the towel, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he does not regret suspending his campaign and indicated he's open to running for president again in 4 years. Senators say they're getting closer, but still no deal on a U.S.-Mexico border deal that would unlock a broader national security package on aid to Ukraine and Israel. Award-winning broadcast journalist Charles Osgood died today at his home in New Jersey. Cause of death was dementia, his family said. He was 91. This is ABC News. Another scare for pop star Taylor Swift.
The NYPD arresting a man after he was found behaving erratically and loitering Monday near singer Taylor Swift's New York City home in the Tribeca neighborhood. Witnesses, including Swift's security, flagging down police, pointing out an emotionally disturbed man harassing passersby. He's identified as 33-year-old David Crow of Seattle, and his arrest followed another incident Saturday where he was seen trying to open a door to Swift's townhouse and placed under arrest. Authorities say there have been multiple incidents at the residence in recent years, including several other break-ins and attempts while Swift was not home. Some of the incidents, including alleged stalkers. Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
New consumer alert about Venmo, Zelle, and Cash App. The Manhattan DA says the payment apps are leaving customers vulnerable to fraud and, in some cases, draining bank accounts. The DA has sent letters to the companies that own those apps calling for them to adopt security measures like limits on transactions and better monitoring of unusual activity. Dave Packer, ABC News.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No!" My car!
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet.
Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la.
It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Governor Tony Evers delivers the annual State of the State address tonight.
The Democratic governor can be expected to address a variety of issues where he opposes Republicans who control both chambers of the Wisconsin legislature. The address is scheduled for 7 o'clock in the Assembly Chambers at the Capitol in Madison. The speech will be live streamed on Governor Evers' YouTube channel and Facebook page. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux is scheduled to deliver the Republican response to Evers' address. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Vice President Kamala Harris was in Waukesha County Monday for the 51st anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade abortion ruling. Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez noted the Harris stop came as Republicans in the legislature act on the issue of abortion.
They are proposing another abortion ban here in Wisconsin. They aren't listening to us. They aren't listening to what Wisconsinites want.
Harris said abortion access is at risk around the nation.
Today in America, one in three women of reproductive age live in a state with an abortion ban.
Also Monday, the Biden administration announced efforts to expand contraception access through the Affordable Care Act. A former Eau Claire County deputy treasurer who helped steal more than $1 million of taxpayers' money is out of prison.
WEAU reports 72-year-old Kay Onerheim has been released after serving her 8-year prison sentence. Onerheim will be required to pay restitution while she serves her extended supervision. Onerheim and former Eau Claire County Treasurer Larry Loken were convicted in 2016 of stealing more than $625,000 in tax money. An investigation found that they actually stole $1.3 million from Eau Claire County taxpayers. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durant.
The clouds stick around today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. We'll have temperatures in the low 30s, east winds at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, patchy fog late, lows upper 20s. Tomorrow, cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, highs mid-30s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas girls basketball tonight. Durand, Arkansas at Elk Mound. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at our website.
Exciting show lined up for you. Coffee cup is full. We're ready to talk about what is happening in agriculture and issues impacting rural America. Coming up here in segment two today, we're going to recap the latest cattle on feed report and get a closer look at what is moving in the livestock industry here early in 2024. Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services is going to join us for a conversation. Coming up after the bottom of the hour in segment three, we're going to stay on the livestock industry. We're going to talk cattle with Patrick Robinette from the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. USDA has released their grading pilot program details here late last week, and a lot of groups are applauding that news, including the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. So we're going to have a conversation and learn more about that with Patrick Robinette coming up here in segment three today. And in segment four today, I had a conversation last week with the president and CEO of CHS, Jay Deberton, talking about their quarter one fiscal year earnings for 2024 and also the potential partnership, the exploratory process between CHS and Growmark that the two companies are entering into. We're going to talk about that and listen back to most of that interview coming up here at the end of the show today. So again, thank you for joining us here on AOA. Kicking things off, Farm Futures has just released their 2024 acreage estimates. Here to give us the details on that and talk about it, we welcome in Jacqueline Holland with Farm Futures to AOA. And Jacqueline, thanks for joining us here on the program today. How are you?
Doing great, Jesse. Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, let's dive in and look at these numbers. And again, these acreage estimates just getting released on Tuesday morning. And really, acreage, it looked like a lot of marginal changes and maybe some changes that were a little less than some folks would maybe expect here, considering how the markets have been acting. Could you give us some of the headline numbers to start?
Yes, absolutely, Jesse. So for corn acres, our farmers indicated they are going to plant 92.8 million acres this spring. That is about a 2% drop from last year's plantings. Soybean acres came in at 85.9 million acres. That'll be a 1.6% increase from last year. Even though USDA forecasted lower winter wheat sowings in their January report, our farmers indicated they planted 1.5% more winter wheat acres this past fall coming in at 37.3 million acres. Spring wheat acres are expected to take a hit down to 9.1 million acres as farmers, especially up in the northern plains, weigh growing renewable diesel production against some hard red spring planting prospects. Durum wheat acres are expected to be unchanged at 1.7 million acres. That'll keep total wheat acres for 2024 at about 48.0 million acres, which is about a 3% drop from last year.
Well, Jackie, as I was looking through the numbers as well, it looked to me that a lot of the traditional rotations were going to stay in the heart of the Corn Belt, is what it looked like you guys found, but you kind of indicated it there. Some of the acres on the outside of the Corn Belt, so to speak, the Northern Plains, other areas, it sounds like that could be where we see some of these marginal shifts.
Right. So coming into this data set over the past couple weeks, the markets have been favoring more soybean acres next year. But our survey data showed that, you know, farmers are actually pretty content to keep their rotations in check in the Corn Belt. I think there is a really good case to be made for lower fertilizer prices and readily available fertilizer supplies that favored planting for corn acres last fall. So we're going to see fewer corn acres outside of the key Corn Belt area, but a lot more of those acres are going to come into soybeans. And I guess when I say a lot more, it's more of a marginal shift this year.
Well, I know too, you guys just had your Farm Futures Business Conference here just a week or so ago in Iowa City, Coralville, Iowa. What did you hear from a lot of the producers in attendance? Did a lot of the producers who attended, a lot of this data you guys found, was that reflected in what some folks were saying and talking about there on the ground during the business conference?
Not directly, but there was a lot of concern about growing conditions and harvest prospects in Brazil and Argentina.
Okay.
And though we derived through our survey data that the South American production is likely the most significant driver of some of these smaller acreage shifts. Instead of, you know, seeing, I think the markets were very much expecting to see more soybean acres than corn this year. And there's still a lot of uncertainty about how U.S. crops are going to be able to compete with South American crops in the coming months. And to that end, you know, both the farmer comments we heard last week and our survey data reflected that farmers aren't willing to pull the trigger yet on many significant acreage changes within the primary Corn Belt states.
And I wonder, too, and I'm not sure if you guys covered this in the survey, but, you know, obviously, when you think about if there was fall fertilizer application, you know, that could have a big effect, of course, on what is put into the ground this spring. But between now and spring planting, you know, there could be some shifts. But again, it sounds like a lot of this is going to stay with that pretty traditional rotation, isn't it, Jackie?
Yes, I think the biggest opportunity we'll see for major acre movement will probably be in North Dakota in mm-hmm. the spring wheat acres up there. I think farmers are waiting to see how moisture plays out for the rest of the winter. And, you know, if they get good moisture, I anticipate they are going to be more eager to plant spring wheat. But at any rate, soybeans are still a very plausible fallback option for them if they don't get that moisture.
Yeah, very, very true. And I believe I saw the number on that spring wheat acres you mentioned. Was it down 19% year over year? That little bit of an eye-popping number to me there, Jackie, if that comes to fruition.
Yes. I'm looking back through my notes. I believe it's going to be the smallest spring wheat acreage planted since, I think the 1970s.
Okay, I was going to say a long time by the sound of it.
Yeah, the 1970s. I had to dig really far back for that data.
Well, nonetheless, I know folks can view all of the data, farmfutures.com. It is posted there right now, and we have been talking with Jacqueline Holland, grain market analyst with Farm Futures and Farm Progress here today on AOA. And Jackie, thanks for joining us on the show. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, we're going to recap the cattle on feed report, talk livestock with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services here on AOA. Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. Heading to NCBA's Cattle Convention on Friday, February 2nd, stop by USMEF booth 1807 with me, Jesse Allen. We'll be broadcasting AOA live with our friends from the National Corn Growers Association and the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Stop by from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern to learn how these organizations work together to competitively position American product as the sustainable, high-quality, premier product of choice. And don't forget to join NCGA on Thursday at 2:30 for their Learning Lounge. We'll see you in Orlando.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we turn our attention now to what is happening in the livestock industry and the livestock trade. We want to look at the cattle on feed report that came out here this past Friday. Looked like most of these numbers as expected. We're going to break that down and have a conversation right now with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services. Dennis, great to have you back on AOA with us, and Happy New Year to you. We haven't talked since the new year began. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, as I mentioned, it looked like these cattle on feed numbers for January, everything pretty much as expected, fairly neutral. You know, I've gotten used to getting a surprise number or two here or there, Dennis, the last couple cattle on feed reports, but this one pretty much looked in line with what we thought ahead of the report.
Well, it did, but I like the numbers. Now, the marketing number in particular at 99%, there was one less weekday this year versus last year. So really, if you want to compare day by day, that's really like a marketing number at 104%. And, Jesse, this is the first bullish marketing number we've seen in months, going clear back to maybe last June, maybe even last May. So that's a very constructive development as far as the marketing number. Placements were lower. As you indicated, that was fully expected. But I think placements will be sharply lower in January, and that's something the market has to think about.
Yeah, it is. I've been hearing a lot of talk about a lot of heifers out there in the feed yard here. We've been seeing a lot of that in recent months. Is that something you're hearing as well, that we could start to see reflected in these future reports, Dennis?
Oh, most definitely. That's what the data shows anyway. Indicates that the cull continues as far as the reducing the beef herd over time. Although things are changing moisture-wise, we've got heavy moisture now coming into drought areas of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas. We've also got a vastly improved moisture situation in the Great Plains all the way from Texas north to Montana. I'm expecting this to really stabilize the beef cow slaughter as we move into the second half of 2024.
Let's talk about potential here, margins and such for producers. You know, one thing I've been watching, pretty closely here has been the choice and select prices here, getting those prices back up closer to the $300 mark in some cases, watching futures rebound a little bit. Talk to me about what you're seeing here in terms of some of this price action and what it could mean for cattle producers.
Well, I think it's a very constructive development. The wholesale beef, as you indicated, in my opinion, will be north of $300 by the end of this week. The cash steer market, that is the dressed cash market, topped last week at 277. So you're talking a 277 dressed market versus a $300 plus a choice market. And that tells me that there is margin there for the beef packer, and they continue to be stubborn and reluctant to pay higher prices, complaining about poor margins. Quite frankly, I just don't see it, and I think the leverage is moving away from the packer and toward the feedlot, and I am looking for higher prices.
I know, too, you know, some of that leverage moving back to the feedlot. I mean, I look at corn. I know a lot of our grain growers aren't necessarily happy with 450 corn or less, but got to think that is beneficial to folks out there in feedlot country, Dennis.
Yeah, most definitely. The corn ending stocks projection at over 2.2 billion bushels is plentiful. Indicates no real tight supply of corn, and we're still historically high as far as the corn price goes. I'm sorry, that's just the fact. And from a livestock potential, we think there is a potential for lower corn prices.
We are talking with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services here on AOA today. Dennis, let's talk about the hog market a little bit. Hogs, you know, since the last time you and I talked, we've been finding what looks to be a little bit of support. We had quite a few days in a row that we strung together gains on the futures board. And, you know, I'm looking at Feb hogs sitting just right around that $70, $71 mark, April 77. You know, for our hog folks out there,
things have been looking a little bit better. What's your take in the hog market right now?
My take in the hog futures market is a total confusion right now. I guess I consider the fundamentals not bullish, but yet hog futures doing just the opposite. They're trying to take out resistance and pointing towards something completely different than what I am seeing or what I comprehend the situation to be. So it's a lot of confusion on my end on the hog market. We've backed up hogs. We're looking at a huge kill last week and another huge kill this week, and futures are climbing the wall of worry and they're breaking out to the upside.
Are you seeing some of that confusion on the cash side of the hog market right now as well, Dennis?
Well, I'm not sure. I think it will continue because that's the trend right now. Again, exactly why I cannot explain what's happening here. It's not coming from China. I feel confident of that. That the situation in China is a total mess as far as over pork production. Pork demand in China is way off, way down, and that's due to a horrible economy and a very low consumer confidence.
And I'm glad you brought up the China situation because you are correct. It is a mess over there. And, you know, thinking about demand in that Chinese economy, you know, some folks may be asking, well, why isn't China buying our pork? Well, I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. Their economy and that demand picture is not that great over there right now. So one has to wonder as we, you know, get into 2024 here, could we maybe pick up some of the slack with domestic demand or look at some of our other trading partners such as Mexico and Latin America, things of that nature? I know that on the demand situation, there's a lot more questions than answers right now here in the pork side and the beef side too, Dennis.
Yeah, well, the one thing that is happening at the moment is bellies are being secured and placed into the freezer, which is actually normal, but that's driving the belly price higher, and that's supporting the pork cutout value. Now, European pork remains very expensive. European pork exports, and I'm talking about EU pork exports, as a group, that is the largest pork exporter in the world, and their pork exports were down 24% last year as they culled the herd aggressively, and their expensive prices are now not being sought after on the world market. So U.S. pork producers are taking advantage of that. We are seeing pork exports improve, you might say, in every country with the exception of China, specifically Latin America.
Dennis, we got about a minute or so here. Final thoughts from you for our livestock producers, beef and pork. What do you want to remind folks as they try to manage their margins and manage their risk here early in the year?
I'd be real careful about being aggressive from the hedge standpoint in the hog market. Try to give this market a little bit of time, see if this market can't blow up in price and get futures at least above break-evens. I don't see anything above break-even right now. Cattle futures, I'm very bullish, and I think we've got a higher cash steer market, higher wholesale beef prices down the road.
Dennis Smith with Archer Financial Services. Dennis, always appreciate the time and the insight. Thank you for joining us on AOA today, and we'll look forward to getting you back on the show again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And great stuff there. Good thoughts of what we are seeing in this livestock industry right now with Dennis Smith from Archer Financial Services. All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're going to stay in the cattle industry. We're going to take a closer look at USDA's announcement late last week of the expansion of their remote grading pilot program, looking at helping out small and mid-sized processors be able to make it more affordable for grading, for choice, select, etc. Patrick Robinette with the U.S. Cattlemen's Association is going to join us coming up here next and give us his thoughts on the welcome news by many folks in the cattle industry. We'll get to that conversation on the way right after this. You're listening to AOA, Agriculture of America.
Are you heading to NCBA in Orlando? On Thursday, February 1st, stop by Christian Hansen booth 1067 for some exciting live radio. Celebrity host Jesse Allen will be broadcasting AOA live from Christian Hansen booth 1067 from 10 to 11 a.m. Also on Friday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, Jesse Allen will be hosting Christian Hansen's discussion on how daily feeding of probiotics can improve the digestibility and utilization of the forages cattle are consuming.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk down 21 to 1568, March down 18 to 1595, April down 11 to 1661, May down 14 to 1729. Live cattle, feeder cattle, and hogs all moving mostly higher on the day, as there are indications packers are needing to be more aggressive with their purchases this week, and that could lead to higher cash markets in cattle and hogs, and that helped to support the prices. February live cattle up 87 cents to 174.65. January feeder cattle up $1.17 to 2.31. February hogs up 2.37 to 73.30. Meanwhile, at the Board of Trade, corn and soybeans mostly higher. Wheat was also mostly mixed. Now, chart and technical indicators still are showing some signs of bottoming action, and the funds did back away a little bit from their aggressive selling. But the question is whether the funds will begin to cover those massive short positions. Still some ongoing tensions in the Middle East, though, help to provide some pressure to some of the contracts. March corn up 3/4 to 446 and a half. New crop up 1 1/4 to 447 and a half. March beans up 15 1/4 to 1239 and a half. New crop up 9 1/2 to 1207. Chicago wheat, March steady at 596 and a half. Minneapolis wheat, March down 1 1/2 to 699. Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Hey, Wisconsin soybean farmers, do you know how your soybean checkoff helps fuel Wisconsin? Soybeans play a critical role in helping our communities, our economy, our environment, our future, our farms, and our world. Stop by the Wisconsin Soybean Booth at this year's Corn Soybean Expo, February 1st and 2nd at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells, to learn how your Wisconsin soybean farmers and soybean checkoff are working hard to increase your impact from the farm to the future.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, USDA last week announcing their remote carcass grading pilot program. They are expanding this remote grading program, and a lot of folks in the cattle industry are happy and welcoming this news. Joining us to tell us more about it and have a conversation, he is the U.S. Cattlemen's Association Independent Beef Processing Chairman, Patrick Robinette from North Carolina, is with us. Patrick, great to have you on AOA. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, Patrick, give us the background here a little bit on this remote grading pilot program from USDA announced here last week. It really seems like this is going to be a big benefit to, and make things more cost effective for small and mid-sized producers, isn't it?
It is. So, you know, grading has been around since 1960. And the problem is that 30 years and through consolidation and what have you, what used to be a standard staple at every facility, the USDA created grading to make sure that there's customer confidence and quality of meat, had eroded away from the small and very small, and got to the point last 20, 30 years, can't afford it. And so there has been a separation from the cattleman's abilities to be able to capture the premium from the quality grade on their own, which is theoretically has forced the cattle to go to the big four. And if you want to get paid for a premium on a grade, you have to go where a grader is going to be, which then you're giving up on margins from the big four. In my situation, we've been direct marketing the beef that we've raised for 24 years. And I go visit a restaurant, the chef says, well, I buy choice ribeye. I legally could not, even though my ribeye would grade choice, I would not be able to sell him choice ribeye because I couldn't put it on label because I didn't have a grader. And we had run calculations. You know, graders are assigned to the facilities. You would have to get permission for that grader to be able to leave the facility that they're assigned to. You'd have to pay for their travel. You'd have to pay for their time during travel. Then you'd have to pay for the grading itself. And like in my case, the closest grader to where I was at, where I'm at in North Carolina, it would cost about $400 a carcass. So by the time you would pay to be able to put the premium into the carcass, you would lose the premium to the grader. So a couple years ago, 2 years ago, be exact, in a meeting with USDA AMS, and we were talking about another situation and another thing we were working on and we had gotten resolved. And I brought it up and talked about how there was a, you know, there was disservice to the cattlemen, and it was disservice to the small, medium, small, very small plants. And, you know, we are very blessed within USDA AMS. You know, we can sit here and talk about how ridiculously large the USDA is, and you know, we got the bureaucrats in the USDA, but there is a group within AMS that are producer-minded driven, and they listen to me. And I presented them, you know, hey, here's the situation. And I presented them in a fashion, because it's always it marvels myself. The USDA is operating under 200-year-old regulations, but we forget that there's modern technology available. Like, we don't modernize how we run. So these guys and gals, they listened to me. They went out. They talked amongst themselves. Did a feasibility study last year to see, you know, is am I a one-off or is this really an issue? What is being a disservice to the farmers? And then started working on the plan. How can we get grading in and available with these small and very small plants? And so utilizing the technology of our cell phones, taking pictures, able to upload them cloud, we can get them to a grader, and then the grader would issue a grade.
Well, Patrick, man, this just seems like a no-brainer and a win for the producer here. I mean, expand upon that a little bit.
Yeah, I want to add into this, add in a couple of things. One is, this is not going to be a processor-driven program.
Sure.
You know, many of these small and very small plants, they just don't want, like, they don't want one more thing to have to do, right? This is going to be a producer. That's why the U.S. Cattlemen's is committed to work with, you know, not work on behalf of the USDA AMS, but we're promoting the heck out of this thing. It's a producer-driven program. That producer needs to go to their local plant in a state and federal plant. So, like, if you got, you know, state, you know, states where there's no federal plants available, but they're state-inspected plants, this is available for the state-inspected plants. Go to them and say, hey, I want this available, and then make that decision. If not, move on to another plant. So it's a producer driven. Number two is, it's not just for the small, very small plants that would have retail. These producers that are out here in America that have diversified their production to be able to direct market their beef, they're now in the marketplace competing against Tyson's and Cargill and JBS. Because they have the choice and they have the primes and they have the selects. They have that. They just never been able to disclose it. Now they can get on that same grocery store shelf that it is local or it's regional and put that same word that consumer is looking for. No, and even to the farmers markets. Look at what's going to happen to the farmer markets, folks.
Yeah.
To be able to say, hey, you don't have to go to a grocery store to get choice beef. I have choice beef. So, like, this is the drive there. The third group that I've identified this is going to help is the C-stock producers. Many times, C-stock producers, you know, to sell their heifers or, you know, breeding cows or breeding bulls, you know, and part of the EPD collection is meat quality. So they'd have to rely on whoever bought their seed stock to be able to follow their animals all the way through and give them back that information. They're able to do a diversification on their production to sell some beef while selling seed stock, but then they can take, while they're selling, you know, take it to their local processor. Hey, I want this, you know, graded.
Mm-hmm.
Then in real time, they can get that data back. And then there's a fourth group, and I think this is going to be tremendous, is the feedlot folks.
Sure.
I don't know, me personally, I don't know of any feedlot that don't have some sort of a meat locker beef program for friends, family, and employees. They're pulling cattle out of their pens, and they're already getting them slaughtered and processed anyways. Nobody says you have to get a grade, and that grade has to go to marketplace. You can give the grade away.
Yeah,
right.
Makes sense.
Gives the greatest beef away. I believe when we're looking at the feedlot producers, we're feeding the cattle exactly the same today as we have in the last 20 years. To a point, you know, there's some improvement in nutritional, you know, stuff, but still, we're feeding for a grade, a prime, and we're just feeding until we think it's prime, and then we release the animals out. That feedlot producer now can draw out a representative sample of his pen, take it to that locker, get that grade, and then he would have a better idea of what that pen would grade out ahead. And I believe we're going to back up feeding costs 10, 15%. So
I think,
this is a producer-driven program.
Yeah, producer-driven program. And I will add with this too, you know, you mentioned this earlier, using modern technology, you know, to benefit our industry. And I think, you know, Patrick, I think this pilot program, just one piece of a broader picture here as we try to find some various reforms in the industry. And I know there's been a lot of talk and a lot of different things being brought to the table here, but, you know, updating some of those outdated pieces of policy, et cetera, it's time to do that in 2024, isn't it?
Yeah. And so what was funny is that, you know, there's a technology where, you know, camera grading has been in the plants, but USDAMS said, well, yeah, you can use camera grading, but you have to have a grader physically on site. Now, what was funny was Paraguay, Uruguay, Brazil, Argentina, and Australia allow camera grading in their plants. And we're like, well, how is the technology accepted down there? Like, we're really hurting our own industry that we're here to protect and promote.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this whole argument, or not argument, arguments was the wrong word, a discussion. Well, yeah, but you got to have somebody there to calibrate. And I brought up, well, FSIS is there, and then it gets into this jurisdictional stuff. So, like, it was so great to work with this team of people within AMS to be able to come up with a solution. You know, hey, we'll have it, you know, we can upload it. We figured out how to be able to read from the, you know, off of a picture. We'll get it to a grader. Then they don't have to worry about changing up FSIS and stuff. So anyhow, it was great to see producer-minded employees of USDA really buckle down and, like, really come up with a solution. You know, we in the industry, you know, sometimes it frustrates me. We go to Congress and we want to change laws and change regulations, and that takes so many daggone years to get done, and hopefully, maybe, possibly one time in your lifetime, you get that win. It was, let's look at the regulations in place, make the modification to keep it the spirit of the regulation, because then it's just a change of operational procedure within the USDA. Nothing has changed in the regulation itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of exciting things and very, very good news for small and mid-sized operators for sure. And really appreciate the conversation, Patrick. Before we let you go real quick, before we run out of time, anything else you'd want to add about this news from USDA?
Just that, you know, it is active. It's running right now. On the 25th is a webinar. I welcome all producers to jump up there, just sit in on the webinar, get educated in how this all works, and then make this, it's a producer-driven program. Like, get out there and let's reward the USDA in making this change. Let's not have another program just sits on the wayside. Let's utilize it. And then that'll drive the cattle away from the big four, give more margins for the local cattlemen. And really, it does change our life. And so we thank the USDA for their hard work. And so, but no, I welcome and challenge the producers to let's make this thing happen.
With that, Patrick Robinette from the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. Patrick, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
And we'll be back with more here on AOA right after this.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text CUT to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text CUT to 321-321. That's CUT to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
Take steps to live a more sustainable lifestyle by investing in plastic-free food storage containers like silicone sandwich bags or beeswax wraps, which can replace the difficult-to-recycle single-use plastic wrap. And while we all do our part, Charmin is working hard to make a difference by regrowing 2 trees for every tree used. We all go, why not enjoy the go with Charmin? Whether it's the irresistible cushiony softness of Charmin Ultra Soft or the superior strength and absorbency of Charmin Ultra Strong, either way, you can't go wrong.
Jackson Hewitt has a plan to get your tax refund fast. With a buck, buck here, buck, buck there. Here, buck, there, buck, everywhere, buck, buck.
You don't have to wait weeks for your tax refund. Get money sooner with a no-fee refund advance loan at Jackson Hewitt.
On this loan, there's a money today guarantee. E-I-E-I-D-O.
Don't settle for chicken feed. Get fast bucks at Jackson Hewitt today. No-fee refund advance loans by Republic Bank offered to eligible clients. Money today guarantee if approved for a loan on a prepaid card. Details at JacksonHewitt.com.
Are you heading to NCBA in Orlando? On Thursday, February 1st, stop by Christian Hansen booth 1067 for some exciting live radio. Celebrity host Jesse Allen will be broadcasting AOA live from Christian Hansen booth 1067 from 10 to 11 a.m. Also on Friday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, Jesse Allen will be hosting Christian Hansen's discussion on how daily feeding of probiotics can improve the digestibility and utilization of the forages cattle are consuming.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Stefan Florescu, a wheat trading expert with CHS, will provide a 2024 wheat demand outlook. Stefan, U.S. wheat exports are at the lowest point since the early 1970s. Do you expect international sales to pick up this year?
Yes, I do, but it's easy to say this after the lowest export number in 50 years. International sales are a function between other factors of supply availability and price competitiveness. 3 years ago, we had low production in Northern Plains, and in the last 2 years, a crop failure in Southern Plains. As a result of this dramatic crop in production, U.S. wheat priced itself uncompetitively on international markets. Now, it is still early to say, but with normalized crop conditions of winter wheat and with benign weather for spring plantings and crop development later in the year, we could see a larger exportable surplus for next year and a spike in international sales.
What's your outlook for U.S. wheat demand?
Domestic demand for U.S. wheat is very constant, particularly for milling wheat, and remains steady internationally as well. It benefits from the fact that the U.S. wheat quality is considered good and highly valued by customers across the globe. U.S. wheat has to fight to recover market share lost in some traditional destinations, such as Central America, West Africa, or even Asia, where other origins gain access lately after a few years of limited and less competitive U.S. supply. I believe consumers will be happy to receive offers from the U.S. again, but marketers will have to make a strong effort to compete with Black Sea wheat into Central America, Baltic States wheat into West Africa, or even Canadian wheat into Asia.
Well, we've been talking with Stefan Florescu, a wheat trading expert with CHS here on Around the Table. Stefan, thanks for joining us today.
Jesse, happy to be here with you today.
And thank you for joining us Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
National FFA Week is February 17th through the 24th, a week set aside for FFA students across the country to share how FFA impacts members every day. I'm National FFA Secretary Grant Norfleet from Missouri. What better way to show your support of FFA than to get involved in FFA Week? Whether it's in person, on the phone, or via social media, be sure to share your FFA stories during hashtag FFA Week, February 17th through the 24th.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Well, recently, here just last week, in fact, I had a conversation with Jay Deberton, the president and CEO of CHS, going over their quarter one earnings numbers for fiscal year 2024. Let's listen into that interview, learn more about the good quarter that the cooperative had. And we also hear comments from Jay Deberton about CHS and GrowMark entering into an exploratory period to see how the two cooperatives could work together. Here is that interview. Give us a rundown of some of the highlight numbers that we saw here to start, Jay.
Sure. We had a really strong quarter, Jesse. Just really pleased with our results. We had revenues of about $11.4 billion for just the quarter. It's our first quarter for CHS. That resulted in earnings of about $522.9 million. Now, that's down from the same first quarter a year ago. But let me just put a little context behind that. A year ago, we made $783 million. And that was a record that the company has never seen before for a first quarter. This year, we made $523 million. That actually is our second best quarter ever, only behind last year's quarter. So that's where I say a very, very strong quarter for the company. And, you know, Jesse, as you and I have talked about before, in the agricultural sector, our margins, our prices fluctuate each and every year. And we're cognizant of that. And we expect that, and we build the company for that. And so that's what we're going to, you know, that's likely what we're going to see. It's just margins will be different this year. And last year they were different than the year before, and that's who we are. But a really, really strong quarter. We saw really good results all the way across the platforms of CHS. Mm-hmm. Our energy, our ag, our nitrogen production, our corporate and other all had nice results for the quarter.
Well, Jay, and you and I have talked about this before as well. I think with strong results like that, kind of the diversified segments of CHS. I mean, talk about that a little bit, but you kind of alluded to it there. But obviously, a lot of different segments that the company, the cooperative could pull from here. And just talk about some of that a little bit for us.
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of the advantages of CHS and our diversification across these industries. Our energy segment had earnings of about $267 million. Again, that was down a bit from last year, but last year we just had this incredibly large refining margins and crude advantages for the crudes that we buy at our refineries. In our ag segment, we had earnings this year of about $169.7 million. And that story, Jesse, has been in our ag segment is similar to what you and I have talked about in the past. We had really good results in our processing side, particularly our soybean processing that's being driven a lot by renewable diesel and the things that you and I have spoken about in the past. But, you know, our grain segment, which is largely reflects kind of exports off the U.S., you know, the export market for the United States in ag commodities has been a bit challenged these last couple of quarters. And we've talked about the reasons for that and how the U.S. market is kind of sitting a little bit high in the market globally. And that happens from time to time. Crop conditions around the world are uneven, and you know, Brazil had a big crop that came off, and that's just a, you know, that's the business that we're in. But we're feeling that in our grain segment, as you know, total industry exports are just relatively light coming off the U.S. So we feel that in our grain export business. In our agronomy side, we had a really, really strong fall. Bottom line, but behind all that, Jesse, is just as you say, we have always parts of our company that seem to, you know, have wind at their back, and parts of our company where it's, you know, it's much a bit more of a struggle, and that's who we are, and that's embedded in our results.
Well, Jay, of course, you know, we're well into the fiscal year, but technically the calendar year just started. So your thoughts for what lies ahead for CHS as we look across agriculture and look across the company, either good or bad things that could be wins or challenges here in the year ahead. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so I'll still stay with the theme that that we've talked about in the past, Jesse. I look at the outlook for agriculture as good. I think, you know, commodity prices are, while they're not at the high levels that we've seen in the past, nor are input costs at the high levels that we've seen in the past. They've kind of reset a bit. Global demands for protein, strong. The U.S. farmers' ability to compete around the world, strong. More options coming at farmers, particularly in the case of processing that is being driven by the things we've talked about, that I just think are more options for farmers. And we all know that farmers like options. But it won't be long, and we'll be starting to think about the things that we always do. What's moisture? How's the spring look like it's going to unfold? But I sit here today saying I think the outlook is remains optimistic and remains good. We're sure approaching it that way. A lot of agronomies put down this last fall, which is going to take some pressure off trying to get it done this spring, and that usually helps things. And so I'll stand here at the doorstep of the new calendar year and say I'll remain optimistic for agriculture.
Well, another piece of news that we should discuss as well here before we wrap it up, Jay. CHS and GrowMark have entered into an exploratory process. I know there's a longstanding relationship here between the two cooperatives. Can you give us a few more details of what exactly we're looking at here with CHS and GrowMark working together?
We've had relationships and have relationships between the two companies. We have events to ventures together. And the boards of directors together said, let's see if we should or could do something even larger together. And we don't know what that would mean or how big that could be. And that's why we're calling of exploring it together. We aren't in any way announcing any answer to that question. We are saying we're going to look together between the two companies that have ventures together, and could there be something bigger that's good for the shareholders of CHS and good for the shareholders of GrowMark, to position the companies really, you know, for an increasingly competitive world, and at a time when you have two strong companies in the case of GrowMark and CHS.
And once again, a conversation I had last week with Jay Debertson, President and CEO of CHS. Well, we're out of time here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with South Dakota Senator John Thune, get an update on the farm bill and much more. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA.
Are you heading to NCBA in Orlando? On Thursday, February 1st, stop by Christian Hansen Booth 1067 for some exciting live radio. Celebrity host Jesse Allen will be broadcasting AOA live from Christian Hansen Booth 1067 from 10 to 11 a.m. Also on Friday at 11:30 in the Learning Lounge, Jesse Allen will be hosting Christian Hansen's discussion on how daily feeding of probiotics can improve the digestibility and utilization of the forages cattle are consuming.
Heading to NCBA's Cattle Convention? On Friday, February 2nd, stop by USMEF booth 1807 with me, Jesse Allen. We'll be broadcasting AOA live with our friends from the National Corn Growers Association and the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Stop by from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern to learn how these organizations work together to competitively position American product as the sustainable, high-quality, premier product of choice. And don't forget to join NCGA on Thursday at 2:30 for their Learning Lounge. We'll see you in Orlando.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
You're all set with your Medicare prescriptions, Mrs. Brown.
This is not just low-cost copays at Walgreens.
I can actually help you set up 90-day refills if you want.
This is having a partner you can trust. Get low-cost copays, 90-day refills, and delivery from your neighborhood Walgreens. This is being independent, together. Walgreens.
Restrictions apply. For details, see Walgreens.